In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is in our midst.
He is, never shall be.
Knowledge doesn't always translate into action. What we know does not always become what we do. Knowledge may produce good intentions, but there is often a discrepancy between our good intentions and our follow-through, our actions. There's definitely a gap between knowing what is right and actually doing the right thing. A person who pursues dishonest gain, for example, who steals, who embezzles, or the like, they usually know that it's the wrong thing to do. They know it's illegal. They know they're not supposed to do this, and yet that knowledge that they have that this is wrong doesn't prevent them from actually doing what is wrong. Likewise, we can think in several realms it is like this. Knowing how to eat healthy doesn't produce the same results as actually eating healthy. Now, does it? And certainly, knowing the chores around our house that need to be done and knowing how to execute them in the most efficient manner, it doesn't make the chores be complete. We have to actually do the action of doing those chores. Action is what is important in such cases. And in many cases in life, that is how it is. And it is essentially this point that the Apostle Paul is addressing in the epistle text to the Romans today. He makes the point that hearing the law is not what makes us righteous. It might be part of the process, but just hearing the law alone, that is not sufficient. It's rather doing the law that is what transforms our life and into that righteousness of God. It's possible to know the law and to not follow through and actually do what is required of the law. But it's likewise also possible to have another scenario, which the apostle also indicates. It's possible to be completely ignorant of what God expects of us. Ignorant of the law, as was the case of the Gentiles, completely ignorant of the law, and yet intuitively to somehow know what is right and to do what the law requires. It's important to note in what the apostle is doing here. He is not negating the value of religious education in his statements here in the second chapter of Romans. No, there is a benefit of being trained in such things, and we certainly value being educated in our faith. It is something that is important. However, in the end, it is not the knowledge of our faith that is the most essential element of our faith. In the end, the important thing is following through with our faith and actually doing the things that we know God has called us to do. It's not simply enough to know the things that God wants us to do. We have to actually put them into action and do those things. The apostle isn't negating the value of religious education, and neither is the apostle somehow promoting ignorance as some sort of virtue here. He's simply emphasizing that which is most important, and that is the action of doing good. And the truth is, many times, we do intuitively know what is right. We know, we have this sense of what is good and what we are supposed to do. And ultimately, it's simply the image of God that is within us, that is drawn to what is good. But we need to always be aware that we have to follow through with action. We have to follow through and do what we must do. Knowing what is good isn't enough. We have to do what is good. Jesus tells a parable. It's told in both Matthew's and Luke's gospel accounts. He tells a parable about hypocrisy, and he questions his disciples, "Why do you call me Lord, and yet you do not do what I say?" It's an important question, because the implication is, by calling Christ Lord, the implication was, of course, they're going to listen and do the things that Christ was teaching them. But he recognizes there's a discrepancy in what he's telling them and what they're actually doing. And then Jesus says this, "The one who hears my sayings and does them, he is like the man who, building a house, digs deep and lays the foundation upon rock. But he who hears and does nothing about it is like the one who, building a house without a foundation on sand." See, we know what happens in the end. Only the one house that is built on the rock is a house that stands the test of weather and time. The house that is built on sand is the house that falls to the ground. See, the apostle is here discussing the whole context of the law, and knowing the law isn't enough, but doing the law is what's required. And he's addressing a context of old, context of coming out of a context of Judaism, and we need to recognize how much it is still applies to us today. Whether we are looking to legalistically implement the law in our life or not, that's not the point. We certainly do not follow ceremonial law in the context of the church, but the moral law of the Old Testament still is upheld. It's part of the scripture. There is a moral guidance that is there, and certainly the scriptures as a whole are instructive to us as to how we are to live. And so if we just apply what he's saying about the law to the other things that we know we're supposed to do, such as what the scripture teaches us to do, such as the commandments and teachings of Christ himself, we need to put these into practice. And our knowledge of the scripture, our knowledge of what Christ teaches, is simply not enough. Knowledge of what is good has to translate into the good action. Good intention is not enough. We have to follow through with those intentions and put them into practice. Without the follow-through, we are simply building our life on sand, as Christ described. Elsewhere, Jesus tells another parable about two sons, how the father comes to the first and says, "Son, go work in the vineyard today." And the son says, "I will not." But as he goes his way, he thinks better of it, and he regrets what he has said to his father, and he decides he's going to do the right thing, and he goes and he works in the vineyard. And the father comes to the second son and asks him the same. He asks him to go to work in the vineyard. And the second son says, "I will go." But he never goes. And the important thing is what Jesus calls attention to in his question. He questions, which of these two sons did the will of the father? See, he doesn't ask which of these two sons knew the will of the father. They both knew the will of the father. He didn't ask which of these two sons intended to do the will of the father. We recognize which one intended to. But Jesus asked, which of the two did the will of his father? And the answer is clearly the first son. And Jesus likened that first son who did the will of the Father is like sinners who repent in the end. He makes the statement that tax collectors and sinners are entering the kingdom of God before the so-called righteous. It's because those tax collectors and sinners may initially have said no to God and no to his commandments and no to the path that God had called them to follow. But in the end, like that first son, they regret their actions, they repent of those actions, they change their course, and they, in fact, follow Christ into the kingdom. In the end, the most important thing for us is that following through with action, knowing what is good, being convinced of the right thing is not enough. Even our good intentions are not enough. The second son had those good intentions, but he did not put them into action. In the end, we must learn to follow through doing what is good. We must not let our good intentions be lulled into some kind of sleep of inaction. We must take action for good. This is essentially what the Apostle Paul is bringing home in the epistle text today. Hearing the law is not what makes a person righteous. It's possible to hear endless instruction on what we should do. It's possible to educate ourselves endlessly in the context of our faith. It's possible to hear endless instruction on what we are to do. It's possible to fill our minds with such ideas and good intentions. But all of the listening and all of the good intentions have to translate into action. We have to do those things we hear. We have to do those things we learn. We have to do those things that we intend to do. Certainly there's something ironic about this whole present moment, and I have to call attention to the irony of speaking to these things. Because after all, I'm directing our focus to what the apostle says about ultimately action, doing those works, those good works. And yet, how am I doing that? I'm not doing that by leading us on some context where we're all doing good works together. I'm speaking words and filling your mind with new ideas about good works and possibly even with inspiring you with new good intentions that you are putting in your heart. But you recognize that's the limitation of preaching. That's the irony of preaching, in a sense. All I can do is inspire and instruct, but in the end, action has to be taken by all of you and by me as well, because I'm part of that ironic person. I have my own personal irony in this as well, because I too need to translate the words that I speak into actions of my life. And I recognize how easy it is to fill my life with good intentions, and often the intentions of my heart are more numerous than our the good actions of my life. I don't speak as someone who has it all together, simply as one who's seeking to close that gap between good intention and following through with good action. This is an Apostle Paul's point this morning. Don't think that the knowledge of the faith is sufficient. Don't think that your good intentions are good enough. We need to act on the things that we know. We need to follow through all the way till the end. Let us not build our lives on the sinking sands of just listening and thinking because we know, therefore we are, because it's not true. We have to know and then put that into action. We need to do more than simply learn the teachings of our Lord. It's important to know the teachings of Christ, but we have to take the teachings of Christ and put them into practice in our lives. It's these kinds of good actions that build our life on a solid foundation, a foundation that is not shaken by the storms of this world, the storms of life, a foundation that can stand the test of time and ultimately withstand the judgment of God Himself. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.